East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title: Christ Lives in Me. Morning session number 1, Christ Lives in Me. Message number 5, Grace Being with Our Spirit.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. And get out your Bibles, because we're going to be using our Bibles this morning. Yeah, we're on page 43. Grace Being with Our Spirit. Okay. There goes the clicking. It's winding down. Everybody have their Bibles? Okay. All right, now we're going to do a little exercise here. We're going to do this. Okay. Everybody close your eyes, except for me, because somebody needs to keep a count. So I have my eyes open. I can see if yours are open. Okay, now, what I want everybody to do, picture yourself enjoying grace. You're sitting there, you're enjoying grace. When you're, you know, like you're, some experience you've had in the past where you're really enjoying grace. Now, if in this memory you're in a meeting, raise your hand. Okay, that's a good percentage. All right, that's what I wanted to find out. I think there was a statement made in the last training. Who was in the last training? Or either video or live. Brother James made a statement that Brother Lee once said, that this is the highest revelation in the Bible. Who remembers what the highest revelation in the Bible is? Yeah, somebody said the New Jerusalem. Somebody said Christ. Actually, grace. Actually, grace is the New Jerusalem, right? Grace is Christ. You know, you say, well, okay, what about judicial redemption and organic salvation? Grace is judicial redemption and organic salvation, right? What about the God-man living? Grace is the God-man living. In fact, all the high peak truths, you can just use one word, grace, and it covers all of that. And then, I don't know, so we've got our Bibles out, right? How about everybody turn to the last verse in 2 Timothy? This is something interesting here. First, the last verse in 2 Timothy. Everybody got that? Everybody that has it, read it. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. All right, that's the last verse that Paul wrote. Now, everybody turn to the last verse in 2 Peter. Okay. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and unto the day of eternity. Amen. So that was Peter's last verse. Okay, now everybody turn to the last verse in Revelation. That one should be easy to get to. It's the last verse in the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus be Christ, be with all the saints. Amen. So you think about this. The three principal writers of the New Testament, their concluding word was grace. Isn't that something? You know, the grace, I think sometimes we get this sort of, we have a knowledge of what grace is, but we have a concept of what grace is. And our knowledge and our concept don't sync up. You know, our concept of grace is, I'm happy, I'm enjoying the Lord, and I'm happy, you know. But our knowledge of grace is a little different. And what we want to do is we want to make our realization of grace equal to our doctrinal understanding of grace. So, I'll share first, and then Brother Bill will follow me. And I want to share on what grace is and what grace does. And then Bill's going to share on how we experience grace, the condition we need to be in, and what part of our being we need to use in order to experience grace. But first, what is grace? All right, who knows what grace is? What is our, if you don't, if you need to cheat, read Roman numeral 1. Or letter A, I'm sorry. Yeah, what is letter A? Wow, you guys got it to read and you're still chicken. Okay. What is grace? Amen. And enjoy him. Right? We know this. We know the grace is the triune God himself, that we may enter into him and enjoy him. But, you know, this is not just something that we say. This is something that's in the Bible. All right, so the next letter there, B, we've got some verses, right? In the book of Galatians, grace is revealed as God's calling in order to reveal his Son in us. We all have Galatians 1, 15 and 16 memorized, right? Okay, what does it say? Not confirmed. Right. So whose grace is who called us through his grace? Particularly what aspect of the triune God? The Father, because it's his Son, right? So we know that's the Father. So grace, we see grace is related to the Father. Right? Then what is Galatians? Well, we didn't memorize 2:21. How about everybody turn to Galatians 2:20 and 21? Okay, what does that say? So there, who is grace related to? Christ, right? Because there's these two things that are connected. One is living Christ. The other is grace. What is grace? Grace is to live Christ. So Christ is who? What's that? The Son, right? So there we see grace related to the Son. Okay, then, how about, this is actually on the outline, but Galatians 5, 4, and 5. Okay, can we all read that? You have been brought to naught, separated from Christ. You who are being justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, by the Spirit, out of faith, eagerly await the hope of righteousness. So there, if you're fallen from grace, then you're apart from the Spirit, right? According to the logic here. For you have fallen from grace, for we, by the Spirit. So these two things are in opposition, falling from grace and being by the Spirit. So here you see grace is related to the Spirit, right? Okay. So is grace the triune God? Yes. Right? Is that just something we say, or is that in the Bible? That's the Bible, right? So this is not just something we say, but is it just the triune God? Process? What's that? To be our enjoyment, right? So this is really the key. Grace, it's not just some triune God that's processed. It's the process triune God to be our enjoyment. Yeah. The level of our enjoyment is equal to the level of our grace that we experience. So, that's just... what is grace? Grace is the process trying God to be our enjoyment. But most of my burden is in this letter C here. What do we need to do then? What is our role? What do we need to do? What is the first thing we need to do? Can we read? Somebody, I've heard some pepperings. Receive, right? We need to receive grace, right? Can somebody read Romans 5:17? Amen. Amen. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace. The trickle of grace. A little bit of grace. What kind of grace? Abundance of grace. Right? Do we experience an abundance of grace? You know? I think we know that there's an abundance of grace, but how much abundance of grace do we really experience? And honestly, you know, there are some times where you're preparing for a message and you find out that the reason you're preparing that message is because you're the one that needs it the most, you know? I really felt so much speaking from the Lord in this, that the grace is not a little trickle. The grace, there is an abundance of grace. Amen. There is so much grace. Amen. It's a river. It's not a creek, you know? It's a river flowing out of the throne of God. Amen. So, in 1 Peter 1:2, can somebody read that? 1 Peter 1:2? You have the multiplied grace. You ever heard that expression, the multiplied grace? Right. So grace be multiplied. Right? You know, we can have a multiplied grace. So what is the multiplied grace of God? Is this. You have all kinds of things that you go through in your daily life. Right? I do. We all do. So you have a roommate, right? Some of you have a roommate. I'm betting most of you have professors. Right? Anybody have a professor that is unfair? Doesn't give you the right grade? You got it. You should have gotten an A. He gave you a C. That happened to me. I'm still mad about it. Okay. What about the serving ones in your locality? You know, maybe sometimes they do something that offended you or something like that. Right? The brothers sometimes they're just wrong, you know? I mean, you think they're wrong, but they're not wrong. Okay, what else? There's your parents. Sometimes your parents, you know, you're like 19 years old. Dad, I'm an adult now. Don't you understand? Let me grow up. Right? Your parents. Right? Some of you probably have jobs. That means you've got bosses. Bosses are never reasonable. Right? Then maybe some of you have health problems, right? What else? You know what all these things are? These are opportunities for grace to be multiplied. Amen. Right? It's not that you get a plus one here. You don't get grace and then you get a plus one grace and then a plus one grace here. No. No, this is roommate times, professor times, serving ones times, parents times, bosses times, health times, blah, 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 blah. All of that. Everything, grace just keeps getting multiplied in us. Right? We received grace when the Lord Jesus came into us. Grace came into us. But he wants to just keep multiplying himself in us over and over again, every day. That's why he gives us all these situations, so that he can be multiplied in us. You know, the reason that grace sometimes is just a little trickle instead of a river is we're absent of the multiplied grace. You know, we're content. We're content to just complain about all of these things rather than to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace to know how to be with my professor. I need your grace to know how to be a brother in the church life. I need your grace to know how to be under the brothers. I need your grace to know how to be with my roommate. Lord, I need grace. Right? Then the multiplied grace is so real to us, and that trickle becomes a river. Right? We want to have a flowing river in our being. Okay. So that's the multiplied grace. Right? But then, I also want to point out, in relation to this, I want to read something. But can somebody read, I think it's 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20 first. Yes. I think I got the wrong verse, sorry. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 2:19, yeah, so I was okay. This, say it again, sorry. So you've got these two things. You've got grace and you've got a consciousness of God. Okay. And what this is referring to is you'd have these slaves. Okay. So Tim, can you come up and be a slave? And then, I forgot your name, but you want to be the master? Okay. So the master is beating the slave. So go ahead and beat him. Okay, so he's beating the slave. So what does the slave do? You know, slave's got a couple of different options, right? He can either react according to the consciousness of God, or he can just react, right? So if he's not reacting according to the consciousness of God, what do you think his reaction might be? Yeah, so go ahead, beat your slave. He doesn't want to beat the slave. He doesn't want to give it back. All right, so he's beating the slave. Okay, then slave reacts, right? So then he knows he's a brother. He knows he's a Christian. That's actually why he's beating him. So what kind of testimony does that make, right? Where is he going to turn and go, okay, I believe in the Lord now. He just punched me. Right? But, so he's beating him, okay? And he's, what else can he be doing? He can be reacting according to grace, right? Maybe he just says, Lord, save my master, right? There's something going on in him. Their life is there operating in Tim. And so he just says, Lord, I pray for my master, right? What kind of reaction, how's that going to affect the master? Right? This actually is the living of grace. Right? So thanks, brother. You know, this is something that I want to read this quote because, you know, we're in the how many have been in the church life for more than a couple of years? Okay. Been to trainings, things like that. I'm going to read you a quote. This is actually brotherly. This is the life study. Okay? You're not going to believe it, but okay. These verses speak about our behavior in our daily life as Christians. The Christian life is a matter of behavior. I actually read that right. The Christian life is a matter of behavior, right? Suppose we did not have the divine life within us. This would certainly make family life very difficult, especially in relation to our in-laws, and particularly to the mother-in-law. It is rare to find a man who desires to have his mother-in-law live with him and his family. Likewise, married women do not like living with their mother-in-law. For both a husband and a wife, a mother-in-law can create a difficult situation. For this reason, humanly speaking, it is better that a married couple not have a mother-in-law live with them. But that's not really his point. Okay. The point here is that if we are those without the divine life, we shall face problems in our married life, no matter how much we love one another. We shall have at least 5 major problems: temper, disposition, habit, background, and our way of understanding things. No matter how much alike a husband and wife may be, there will be differences between them regarding temper, disposition, habit, background, and understanding. The husband will have his way of viewing things, and the wife will have hers. So there is the divine life in us, and there's also these other 5 things: the disposition, the habit, the background, the temper, and the understanding. Okay, and the divine life, he talks about this, that the divine life is a motivated life. It's not an ambivalent life. It has a motivation. It has a desire to do things. It has a desire to be lived out, to be expressed. So whatever is happening, even, you know, in you're living with your wife or husband-to-be, right? Or you're with your roommate. There's a certain way the life always wants to react. There's a certain way the life within you always wants to behave. And that life, when we just receive what that life is doing, that's grace. And it's grace to us, and it's grace to those we're around. You know, it's not just a sort of candied guide. It's a Christ being lived out of us, being expressed through us, by being enjoyed by us. Right, so this life, there's so many things that we go through. You ever do this? You're starting to do something, and then there's just this sort of bump, 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 bump. You're starting to do something, and bump, 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 and you just go, "Oh, the Lord doesn't want to do that," right? And then at that time, as soon as there's that bump, bump, you have a choice: you either receive grace or you don't, right? And then how much we live by grace, how much that grace gets lived out in us, gets multiplied in us, is dependent on how much we heed the bump. You know what I'm saying? You know, we want to have the grace multiplied in us. We really want to have a flowing river flowing out of the throne of God. Okay. So then there's also the all grace, which there's the multiplied grace, and there's the varied grace, and there's the all grace. Okay. Bill's going to share a little bit more on the varied grace. But basically, the varied grace is I have my multiplied grace, right? Jeremy has multiplied grace. Matt has multiplied grace. Right? So there's his grace and my grace. I receive his grace. He receives my grace. Oh, then there's the varied grace. Right? Then all those varied graces get put together, and you know what that is? That's the all grace. Right? Then the all grace strengthens us, perfects us, grounds us. What does that mean? That means we don't just need the grace that comes from the throne. We need the grace that comes from one another. Right? There's so much grace in the body. There's so much life in the body. You know, sometimes you don't have grace, go to the body. Amen. I really appreciate this time that there's been a lot of fellowship about companionship. Because so much grace can just come from going to a brother and saying, "Hey, can we pray? I'm having this struggle." And to just go and say, "Hey, Jeremy, can you pray with me?" And then Jeremy says, "Amen." And then what happens? I get the varied grace. All right, so then there's this somewhat sufficient grace? All sufficient grace. You ever heard this expression? Vern reminded me of this. I don't have the grace. I just don't have the grace. You have the grace, you're just not receiving the grace. Right? Grace is all sufficient. It's able to meet every need, every situation, every environment. Grace is not insufficient for anything. It's all sufficient grace. Right? But what's the problem is we don't let it rain. We have the reigning grace, which enables us to reign as a king in life. And here, I want to go back to Hebrews 4:12. You know, we know the verse, right, about let us come forward to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. Right? But we don't normally put that together with Hebrews 4:12. But actually, they're related. They're all in the same part of the Bible. They're all in the same passage, right? So let's go to Hebrews 4:12 and read through verse 16. For the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and in marrow and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest before him, but all things are naked and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we are to give our account. Having therefore great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. So now let's go back up to verse 13, and where it says, and there is no creature that is not manifest before him, but all things are naked and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we are to give our account. And this expression, naked and laid bare, is really interesting, and it offers a lot of insight into this section of the word. And what it refers to is this whole thing is a picture of a sacrifice. Okay, and then what would happen is they would take a really, really sharp sword and they would whoosh, cut open the animal, and then they would open it up, and then you could look and you could see joints and marrow. Right? It was clear, this is joints, this is marrow. And the word of God is like a sharp, sharp sword, the sharpest sword. And it just comes in and whoosh, cuts us open. And then it's just there. You can just look. Soul, spirit. And then when it's opened up like that, before God, your intentions of your heart are just visible. You're just naked. You're laid bare. It's and that's what that means. It's just totally out in the open, right? And we ever how have you ever felt like that? Who's you right? We're sharing the other day about your soul, where you just you. But sometimes you just feel like your soul is just in the prophesying. You just want to run yourself through a paper shredder or something. You know, because you just, you're so exposed, right? You find out, you know, you want to know the reason you sin? I mean, there's the law of flesh and all that, but here's the reason you sin. Because you want to, right? There's something in your heart that actually wants to, right? Your heart is not really that good. It's not that right. And the Word of God comes in, whoosh, cuts it open, and then you find out, you know what? I'm not that pure. I'm not that right. I'm not what I want to be. And you're just sitting there naked and laid bare before the eyes of God. What do you do? Having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who's been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. What do? We come forward to the throne of grace, amen, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. Amen. Right? So what this means is that we have a soul life, right? And we tend to live by our soul life, by these other five things: disposition, way of thinking, and things like that, our temperament. And we just live by that. But the Word of God comes in, cuts it open, says, look, there you go. There's your soul life. And then that it's in that condition that we can come forward to the throne of grace, right? The reason sometimes that we have trouble finding the throne of grace is because we haven't had enough cutting. We haven't let the Word come in, cut us and expose us. We don't realize just how insidious our soul life is. So in order for us to really experience the reigning grace, we need to experience the cutting Word. So then 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is something else about. I really appreciated this. How many of us went out and everybody went out in the gospel, right? All right. How many enjoyed going out in the gospel? All right. Now, when you were out in the gospel, how many of you thought this is a labor? Okay. Very few, right? But so let's read 1 Corinthians 15:10. How many of you thought it was grace? Right? How many of you enjoyed it? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace unto me did not turn out to be in vain. But on the contrary, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. So, grace is a supply to labor. And then finally, Acts 20:32. I have to kind of speed up here. Acts 20:32. I really appreciated this too. Okay, and now, are we there? And now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. So, you know, when I was in the training, actually Matt and I were housemates in the training. And my roommate and I were so different that I'm not even kidding. People would say, who's your roommate? And I'd say who my roommate was, and they would just start laughing out loud. Right? I mean, we were really, really different. But, you know, something happened over the course of being together for a year. Grace built us together. Right? And then we were able to enjoy the Lord together so much by the end of that year because grace is able to build us up. Right? And I think, you know, when you're talking about being on the campus and getting a companion, in our disposition, we can start trying to filter out, well, that brother doesn't work, and that brother definitely doesn't work. And I really actually, you know, this brother works, you know, so he'll be my companion. But the problem is he ruled you out, you know. Don't worry about who can be your companion. You know who can be your companion? Who's on your campus, right? It's not dependent on who matches you dispositionally. It's not dependent on who you like in your personality. It's dependent on who has the life of God in them, who has grace in them, right? If there's grace in them, then there's a way for you to be built up, right? And in this last Memorial Day conference, there was the four living creatures. I really thought this was awesome that the the four living creatures, they only touched in their wings, right? And the wings represent grace, right? We try to touch in so many different ways other than grace, right? We're sitting there, we try to touch in our logic, right? And go, okay, let's coordinate. And then we sit there and we discuss the best way to preach the gospel or to go out, right? And so we're coordinating in our logic, not according to grace. Or we, according to our history, you know, so, you know, hey, Matt, we've been together, we've known each other for about a dozen years now, so we've got this history together, right? But we can't coordinate according to our history. We can't coordinate according to our logic. None of that's going to work. The only way we can coordinate, the only way we can get the belt together is by touching wings. When we touch wings, grace builds us up. So, that's what grace is and what grace does. Amen. Bill is going to share on how we experience it.
Amen. Hallelujah for grace.
Amen. Hey, I was wondering if we could do something a little different. Let's turn to hymn 770. I absolutely love this hymn. And I know, I think in the full-time training they sing this a lot. And I was wondering if we could do something. I've been wanting to do this the entire training. I want you to all stand up and turn and face the row that's behind you or in front of you. And you, brothers, you can look at me, okay? Don't look at the sisters. All right? This hymn is so sweet, and it really goes along with this message. So let's stand up and face the row adjacent to you and sing this song to one another. Infusing one another with grace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus.
It's in A.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. In the holiest place.
In the holiest place.
Touch the throne of grace. Amen.
In the holiest place, touch the throne.
Did you enjoy grace while you were singing?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, I love you, Lord. I love grace. Okay, let's all read Romans 2 together. To know grace in our spirit, we need to meet certain conditions. Now, I know that may not be the most favorite line that you may want to read, but it really is so true. It's so true. You know, I have enjoyed this college training so much. I have enjoyed the morning time with the Lord. I was telling some brothers in the bathroom today, I said, I wish I could have that much time with the Lord every morning. A lot of us are so busy. We get up, you know, you're tired, you keep hitting the snooze, and then you miss that time with the Lord. And our burden actually in this training is that there would be a continuation after this training. All this training is just to give you a taste of how enjoyable grace really is. Are you all getting a taste?
Amen.
Have you enjoyed the time in the twos and threes?
Amen.
The time in the gospel? To me, if you had to use one word to describe this training, it would be grace. Grace. Grace.
Yeah.
Let's all say that. Grace.
Grace.
Oh, Lord, I love you. Okay, so A says we need to be humble to receive grace. When we are humble, God is with us, and this presence of God is grace. When I read over this point and prayed over it, I was considering how I was as a college student, especially after having gone to a training. You've received so much during this training, and it's actually quite easy to be puffed up because you've received so much. But the condition that we all need to be in every day is it's a condition of being humble, a condition of being empty. Even if you have enjoyed, and I know so many of us have enjoyed so much in this training, you know what? When you get back and it's Monday morning, and the alarm goes off, the first thing you should do is, Lord, I just humble myself before you. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I need you as a fresh supply of grace today.
Amen.
When you're in a condition like that, God just flows grace to you. But when we're in a condition of being proud or being filled up, it's like that big flowing river stops and there's just barely a trickle of grace. You know, 1 Peter 5:5 says that. Actually, James 4:6 mentions this, but I want you to write down this reference, 1 Peter 5:5. And if you have a chance, I'd like you to read note 5:2. But basically it says this, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves before him, grace as a river shall flow.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that's the first one. Now, B, let's read B together. We need to allow the Lord to be on the throne within us. Then grace will flow within us as a river. The two references here, Revelation 22:1, John saw this, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb flows a river of water of life. This is quite a sign to us. And then in Hebrews 4:16, which Brother Kelly just mentioned, it says that we come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help, right? Sometimes we need timely help. So we come forward to the throne of grace in our spirit.
Amen.
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 Now, you could ask this question, where is the throne today? On the one hand, the throne is in the heavens, right? But this same throne that's in the heavens is now in your spirit.
Amen.
You know, Jacob had that dream, right, in Genesis? About this heavenly ladder that joined the earth to the heavens to the earth, and there was this traffic going between the two. This throne of grace is now in our spirit.
Amen.
And daily, even moment by moment, we can come forward to the throne of grace.
Amen.
To receive grace. Amen. Okay, point C. We need to remain in the proper New Testament ministry so that we can receive great grace. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33, let's turn to that really quick and read this verse. Acts 4, Verse 33. Amen. This is the early church, and there was quite a testimony of the early church experiencing grace. Okay? Let's read it. And with great power, the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why was there great grace upon the early church? Because they continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. How many of you have enjoyed grace by reading the pages of the ministry of the age? By reading the life study of the Bible. You know, last night, actually it was yesterday, I was driving to the meeting. We pulled up alongside Brother Matt. And Brother Matt said, hey, have you heard about this radio station? It's 107.9. And there's this brother speaking words of grace. So I started turning it on, and there it was. There was the ministry. Every time we touch the ministry, every time we read the pages of this ministry, we receive grace. And there's another example in Acts chapter 11. Barnabas went to visit the church in Antioch. And it says that he saw the grace of God. You know, during this training, I'm seeing the grace of God because I'm seeing people who are enjoying the process and consummated triune God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, D, let's read together. We need to experience the very grace, which is the riches of the grace of God in its varieties, ministered by the saints to one another. Kelly referred to this earlier. When we enjoy grace, then we can minister this grace to one another. It's important, too, to receive grace from others as well as minister grace to others. I love being with the saints. I love being with the saints that the Lord has placed me with because we get an opportunity to minister grace to one another. This is the very grace. The grace that you've enjoyed could be ministered to another member of the body. And the grace that they've enjoyed could be ministered to you. This is the very grace.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Roman numeral 3, let's read that together. Our spirit is the only place we can experience grace. Let's read that again. Our spirit is the only place we can experience grace. So it's pretty clear when we're in our mind, it's hard to experience grace. Right? If I'm thinking, reasoning in my mind, it's hard to experience grace. Sometimes, well, are you tired this morning? Is anybody tired? I know, and I feel for you. I do. Oh, Lord Jesus, I have to confess, I've sat through a couple of these messages and kind of dozed off. So, but anyway, we can experience grace.
Amen.
Grace enlivens us. Grace wakes us up. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. I love you, Lord. So, it's pretty clear. There's only one place in this universe, in our being, where we really experience grace. It is in our spirit. It is in our spirit. Okay, A says, the grace which enters into us and becomes our enjoyment is nothing less than the Spirit Himself. In Hebrews 10:29, Paul says, uses this phrase, the Spirit of grace. And as Kelly mentioned earlier, we already know, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, they all, as the triune God, consummated our grace to us. And actually, there was a warning. I was touched with that in Hebrews 10:29. There was a warning to the Hebrew believers not to insult the Spirit of grace. Grace has been poured out, right? And we insult the Spirit of grace by not enjoying, because He's poured out. He's been poured out for us to enjoy. And so when we're not enjoying, it's in a sense we're insulting the Spirit of grace. I was touched. How many of you were touched with that word that I think it was Benjamin shared? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, keep us enjoying you as grace. Okay, let's read B together. If we would receive grace and enjoy grace, we need to realize that our spirit is the only place we can experience grace. Amen. We mentioned this already. Could we sing 2 Timothy 4:22 really quick? The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit,
grace be with you.
The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. You know, I love singing. I love to sing. I was singing in the bathroom this morning, and oh, it's so good. And then when I was singing, another brother started singing. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, if you want to experience grace, sing. You could sing on your way to class. Can you imagine that? The Lord be with your spirit. It's so attractive. Even on the campuses, we've done this several times at our campus at UNC Charlotte. We got out the guitars and we went to a central place on the campus and we just started singing. And that singing, it's like it was a visible expression of grace to the students. We had one faculty member come by and said to us, this is the kind of testimony Christians should have on the campus. Because they're so used to hearing this kind of preaching and condemning and hellfire and brimstone. So why do we sing? We sing because we want to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, I love to see brothers enjoying the Lord. Amen. Together, in groups. So even in your twos and threes, I encourage you to sing. Sing. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy grace. Amen. Okay. Let's read C together. Whenever we turn to our spirit, we enter through the gate of heaven and touch the throne of grace in heaven through Christ as the heavenly ladder. Again, we mentioned this already, but this is so good. The throne of God is right within our spirit. And we can come forward to the throne of grace in our spirit every day.
Amen.
Moment by moment.
Amen.
Amen. And then, let's finish with D. When we experience grace, we will have peace, which is rest, comfort, enjoyment, satisfaction, and joy. Rest, comfort, enjoyment, satisfaction, and joy.
Amen.
So Paul, again, the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, stress grace. They introduce their books with grace. What's Galatians 1:3? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul concludes his epistle with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers.
Amen.
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 Oh, that's right. Amen.
Amen.
What's the last word in Galatians?
Amen.
Amen. So let's have some time for sharing, okay? If you've enjoyed something in this message, please come forward and share the varied grace with us. Amen.